Well, I want to start with this word. Everything is not always as it seems. Everything is not always as it seems. I heard Donnie say that he loves he's a history buff. I am too. I like to watch History Channel or Military Channel. History Channel, if they don't have something accurate to play, they'll just make something up. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed that, but there's a show on there called Ancient Aliens. Anybody else have seen that one? And I watched it just a little bit, and then now when it comes on, I just kind of turn it off because they just make it up as they go. And they say that these, you know, signs point towards this, and this is the evidence that we have towards that. But how many know that the evidence is not always right? Amen. Things are not always as they seem. But we can count on God's word, can't we? Hallelujah. Just a story that is true. It was told to me as it was supposed to be true, so I'm counting on it being factual. There were two neighbors, and one of the neighbors had a rabbit, kept it out in the hutch in the back, and you know, go out there every day, fed the rabbit, make sure it had water and all those kind of things. Well, the mortality rate of rabbits a lot of times is pretty high. And he went out there one morning to tend to the rabbit, and the rabbit had died. We've owned a few rabbits, and you know, that's happened to us. I remember we went home on Easter Sunday after church, and the rabbit that we had for years had died. And so there it is, his rabbit's dead. And so he pulls the rabbit out of the cage, and he proceeds to bury his rabbit. And so he finishes that job, goes back in the house. A neighbor next door happened to have a dog. And so the next morning, he let the dog out of the house to go take care of its business. And after a little while, the dog comes back to the house, and he had dug up that rabbit, and he was at the back door, and the man opened the door, and he was chewing on that rabbit. And, you know, just kind of really gross looking. And so the man thought to himself, "Oh, Lord, my dog has killed the neighbor's rabbit." And so what he does to cover the evidence is he cleans the rabbit up, washes it real good, dries it up real good, and he goes and he puts it back in the cage. So as you can imagine, when the other neighbor went out back to, you know, go into the backyard, look into the rabbit hutch, and there was his resurrected rabbit. But it was of course still dead. And can you imagine what was going through his mind? All the factual evidence that's going through his brain at that time. And so he proceeds once again to bury his rabbit. Now, this would have all been just a mystery had the neighbor with the dog not seen him out there burying the rabbit now the second time. And so he feels a little guilty. And he goes out and says, "Listen," he says, "I think my dog killed your rabbit." Of course, he found out the truth of the matter, that had not happened. But everything is not always as it seems. One thing is certain: the word of God is always true. I want to give you something tonight that is absolutely true. And the truth and the facts are not always the same. Hallelujah. The fact may be that you have cancer. The truth of the matter is the Lord is our healer, and by his stripes we are healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. The facts may be that you have lost your job and it looks like you're not going to be able to pay your bills. But the truth of the matter is God said, "I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And even though the facts and the truth don't always line up, if we hold on to the truth of God's word, God's truth will become fact in your, come on somebody, in your life. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse number 17, and it shall come to pass. I want you to take note of something. It doesn't say it might come to pass. It doesn't say it may happen, could happen. It says it shall. And this is powerful and it's amazing, and the ministry of Family Worship Center and SBN has a lot to do with this, I believe. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will. Come on. God said, I will. I'm so excited, I'm just almost trembling up here tonight. I will pour out of my spirit upon, can you say it with me? All flesh. Hallelujah. Brown flesh and black flesh and white flesh and red flesh and yellow flesh, upon all flesh he said, amen. Nobody is exempt from where God is going to pour out his spirit. He said, I'll pour it out upon everybody. Does that make you excited tonight? He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Everybody say dream dreams. And we hear a lot of talk about my dream and your dream, and everybody's got a dream. But if you go back to the intent of that scripture, it's not talking about my dream and your dream, and it's talking out of its original context of the dream of God. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men, and it really, age doesn't really have much to do with that, or gender doesn't have much to do with that at all, or anything to do with it. But he said that they shall dream the dream of God. And my dreams may not do a whole lot, your dreams may not do a whole lot, but when I get a hold of God's dream and it begins to fill my spirit and I begin to follow the path that God has laid out for me, amen. Getting a little insight on what his dream is for us, for this church, for my life, for the kingdom of God in this world, amen? We follow after the dream of God. We begin to understand the heart of God. It's not my dream, it's God's dream that's important. And God's dream is this, that all men everywhere be saved, that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Come on, church, and shout hallelujah in this place. Glory! 2 Peter 3 and 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody shout all, should come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift of heaven, that whosoever in this earth, in this world, believes upon him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's the dream of God for all people to be saved, to come to know him. Isaiah saw it in chapter 6 when he said, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. As the angels shouted back one to another, holy, 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 they said, we see something that God sees. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And so God has a vision and a dream, and he's giving that to his church. Amen. You know, in the scripture, Joseph was a dreamer. He had a God dream. Joseph's brothers were hard workers. They were shepherds. Amen. But they lived for the weekend. Yeah. That's a lot of people's, that's the extent of a lot of people's dreams is Friday night. Come on. What you doing this weekend? We're gonna party. We're gonna hang loose. Gonna be awesome. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Sunday lay around just all hungover. Show back up at work on Monday. Starts all over again. Joseph's brothers, they live for the weekend. You ask them, what are you gonna do with your life? They said, well, Daddy was a shepherd. Granddaddy was a shepherd. We're just going to be shepherds. Go down the line with all the brothers, Joseph's brothers. What are you going to do? A shepherd. I'm going to be a shepherd. What are you going to be? I'm going to be a shepherd. How about you? What are you going to do? I'm going to be a shepherd, a shepherd. I'm going to be a shepherd all the way down the line through 11 of the brothers. I'm going to be a shepherd until they got to Joseph. And they said, well, Joseph, how about you? And Joseph said, I had a dream. I had a dream. And I dreamed about these sheaves in the field as we were binding sheaves in the field. And as we were binding sheaves in the field, he said, your sheaves begin to bow down and honor my sheave. And the Bible says his brothers hated him. They hated him. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 2, Joseph being 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brethren. He was shepherding. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, if you're the little brother and your brothers are going out partying on the weekends and you bring back their evil report, that doesn't always make you real popular with the rest of the brothers. And that's what Joseph did. And the Bible also says that his father loved him best. Well, that doesn't make you real popular either with the guys. Amen. You want to have family problems, love one kid more than another. That'll pretty much start some things for you. And it says, and they hated him even more for his dreams. Now, they hated him because he was different. They hated him because of his coat of many colors that his father had given to him. He was a favored child. They hated him for that, but they hated him most of all because of his dreams. I want you to get a hold of that. Now, grant you, Joseph's dreams needed to be adjusted. Most of the time, ours do too. Any dream where I'm standing and everybody else is bowing, my dream probably needs to be adjusted. And God took the time to adjust Joseph into his dream. Amen. Joseph couldn't see it all. All he saw was a little piece of it. Most of the time, even when we have the dream of God, we see a little bit of it, but we don't know everything that God's going to do. I do know this, the world hates a dreamer. Especially somebody gets a hold of the dream of God, because the world wants everybody to be just like they are. Amen. Just cookie cutter, everybody the same. What are you going to do? 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 And they want you to be just like they are, having a vision for Friday night, Saturday night. Amen. But if you got a vision beyond that, if you got a vision for great things that God has put into your spirit and you begin to share that, they don't want to hear about that. Amen. Because the world hates a dreamer, especially somebody with a God dream. Joseph's brothers hated him for his dreams. Like so much of the world, they live for the weekend. This bud's for you. It's Miller time. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah. The Bible says his brothers were feeding the flock in Shechem, at least that's where they were supposed to be. And Joseph's father said to him, go and check on your brothers and bring me back word again. He had sent out his little reporter once again. And they had slipped off, the Bible says, to Dothan. And I can see these guys with their plan. What are you going to do, man? He said, I want to go to Dothan. It's tending the flock here in Shechem. I'm tired, you know. We need to have some fun. We need to party, you know. So, and they said, what are you going to do? Well, let's go to Dothan. So they all came into agreement. Dothan, 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 Dothan. And so Joseph goes looking for them in Shechem. And they're not there, of course. And he finds out where they are and he goes searching for them. They had slipped off to Dothan. And when they saw him, the Bible says that they schemed and conspired to kill him. And they said, now let's see what becomes of his dreams. If we kill him, that'll be the end of that. See, the world wants to kill the dream of God. Why does Satan fight the church so much? Why is Satan fought the people of God so much, even before the camp meeting and before the Gabe Swaggart meeting and all those kind of things. I heard from so many different people of the different things that they had faced, even Martha with a broken ankle and so on and so forth. I had to go in for surgery the week before I think it was the week before I went on the Gabe Swaggart meeting. And it took a while to kind of get through all that, but I'm through it now, thank the Lord. And just, you know, so many people that I talked to had been through so many things. Why? Because Satan wants to kill the dream of God. And the dream of God is for souls to be saved. Satan wants to kill the dream of God. The world wants to kill the dream of God. Your peers maybe even want to kill the dream of God in you. Because people don't want you to break out of mediocrity. Amen. The world doesn't want you to break out of mediocrity, but here's what the word of the Lord says. God said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has for those that love him. But here's the rest of it. But they are revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. God wants to show you his heart. God wants to show you his dream. He wants to share with you those things that he has for you. And when he imparts that into you, it will change your life forever. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a shout right now. They're revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. There's a great youth evangelist. He's traveled the nations. If I mentioned his name, you would know it. But as a young man, he went to work in a factory. And as it was one of those kind of things where assembly line, the parts would come down the line, he would put the part in a box, send it on down. Day after day, week after week, parts come down the line, he puts the part in the box, sends it on down to the next person. Nothing really changes. But every once in a while, there drives up in a little golf cart a man with a flat top haircut, serious look on his face, no smile. Everybody digs in to make sure they're doing their job right. When he comes around, they give him a big old smile. You know who it is, it's the foreman. And everybody's doing their part. Everybody's doing everything right. Everybody's acting real friendly to the foreman. He never cracks a smile until he finally leaves. And then they begin to say, I hate that guy. I can't stand him. Everybody had one thing in common. All of those workers on the assembly line, they hated the foreman. But they loved to talk about the weekend. They loved to talk about Friday night and what they were going to do on Friday night. They could not stand the flat top crew cut foreman, but one thing they loved was to talk about what they're going to do on Friday night. And this young man who was a believer, they would talk to him and say, man, you need to come out with us on Friday night. And these older guys that have been there a long time, they're telling him how much fun they had. Man, you just got to be with us. You just got to come out with us sometime. We'll show you what fun is. And at first he thought, man, these guys are, there's no way I want to go out with these guys. But after a few months of sending alone down the line and joining in on their conversations about hating the foreman and complaining about their jobs, come on somebody. He said that he just got so tired and so weary of this mediocrity that they almost had him talked into going out with them on a Friday night. But all of a sudden, he came to himself and he put the brakes on. He said, wait a minute. I don't want to go out with these guys on Friday night. I don't hate my job. I don't even hate the foreman. You know what I really want? I want that golf cart. And there was something that was put into his heart and into his spirit that would break him out of that mediocrity, and those things begin to serve him as he began to follow God and learn that we don't always have to settle for mediocrity in our lives, but God always has something better for us. Amen. It's time that we in the church begin to say, Lord, we don't want just mediocrity. We don't want to do what everybody else is doing, but Lord, give us the golf cart. Amen. God, give us what you have for us, the greater plan and purpose of God for our lives. Can you say amen? God's got a dream for you that's only revealed by the Holy Ghost. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, but they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. At age 18, God put a dream in my spirit. I turned 18 in 1973, October. You could do the math. And in my heart, God put a dream. I'd been traveling with my family for a number of years, playing guitar, and then God called me to preach. And I began to sing and preach as a young man. And my sisters used to sing with us. And they had all gotten married and were living then in different parts of the country. And so it was my brother Mark, who plays the keyboard over here, and myself and my mom and my dad and a keyboardist that we had, a pianist named Gene Gray. And 1973, in that winter, after my birthday, God put something in my spirit as a young man. And I began to pray this. I said, God, I want to see 100 people come to know you this winter under my ministry. And I had just begun to preach. But God put that vision in my heart, vision in my spirit, Lord. And I began to pray that. God, I want to see 100 people get saved. And I thought, that just number, you know, I thought that's a good number. And just believe in God for that. And so we would travel on weekends and we would sing and get weekend revivals and things like that. And as I would preach, give an altar call, people would come to get saved. And it's like one person, two person. I began to do a tally of those that were getting saved, and had quite a ways to go as time passed on. But we met a family from Florida, actually they're called the Vaughn family, and they sang and contacted a pastor in a little town called Brat, Florida. Jimmy Swaggart's been to Brat, Florida years ago, did a revival there, and contacted that church because they had a New Year's Eve service that they were going to do, and asked the pastor if our family could come and sing. So we were going to go from Illinois, where we live, to Florida for one night service. But hey, we were just believing that God had something planned for us. And so we went. And after we got to Florida, things began to happen to the bus. It felt like the wheel was coming off. And then we stopped at a truck stop because the wheel had been wobbling. And then at that truck stop, found out we couldn't get any fuel back in the fuel shortage days. And so we ended up calling our friends and saying, we're not going to be able to make it. We were somewhere down in Florida. And suddenly a truck driver pulled up and said, you guys having a problem? And we said, yeah, we've had this problem with our wheel. It keeps wobbling. He said, have you checked the lug nuts? The lug nuts are the big lugs on the outside of the wheel. And we said, no, we didn't think of that. Dad had taken the whole wheel off, you know, by the big bearing nut, but not checked the lug nuts. And he went over and he could turn the lug nuts by hand. And it was such a simple problem. And within a matter of minutes, he had that problem fixed. And then the truck driver said, well, if you're looking for fuel right across the road there, there's another station. They've got fuel over there. And so we was able to go get fuel. And so we called the family again and said, we're going to be able to make it. We're coming to the service. All right. And so God fixed that for us, and we went, and we had that service, and revival broke out. Revival broke out. Hallelujah. And as a young man, 18 years old, I had never seen anything like it, because in Brat, Florida, which there ain't nothing in Brat, let me just tell you, if you think you're going to Brat, Florida to go on vacation, you better go a little bit further south. Amen. That ain't nothing but North Alabama and It's just, there's nothing there at Bratt, except there is an Assembly of God church, and I think there's a little store down the road and a couple of schools. But we went, and revival broke out. And the revival lasted 3.5 weeks, and in that 3.5 weeks, in that revival alone, there were 97 people that came to know Jesus Christ. 58 were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It looked like people were coming to a carnival at night because the cars would be lined up down the highway coming to that little revival at Bratt. And I had already seen, several people come to the Lord, but I remember the night that I passed the 100 people that I had asked God for, in that revival. And it was like, okay, having the altar call, and the pastor knew what I'd been praying for as well. And here comes number 98, and here comes number 99. And all of a sudden, it was like there was a pause, and suddenly one more person got up, and number 100 came to the altar and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And it was like the Lord said to me, see, there's nothing that you ask me for that I can't do. Amen. And I learned something about the Lord on that night, that when he puts a God vision in your heart, amen, that he'll perform those things that he says to you. So I want to challenge you as the people of God, as this church, and this is a church that believes God for great things. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you personally in the Lord. Don't settle for mediocrity. God has something better for you. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. God has something great for you. Amen. If you'll wait on the Lord and seek him, let God put his dream into your heart, and he'll accomplish those things that he said that he would do. Can you say amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then Joseph was not willing to settle for what his brothers had, but followed the path of God, even though it cost him. In the end, it preserved and made great the nation of Israel. We need some believers today who will hold on for the golf cart. We need some believers today that will hold on for God's dream. God's dream is this, Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. You see, God's vision is a worldwide vision. God's dream is a worldwide dream. Isaiah 43, verse 5 and 6, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. God's promise is this, that he is going to reach into the world. It shall come to pass. I'll pour out my spirit upon all the world. And I said to you that you have a part in that vision, that God dream. Are you willing to let God put his dream in your heart? You have the ability to get involved on the dream of God, even whether it's answering telephones or whether it's giving in offerings or whether it's helping in Biblethon or whatever it is. You have the ability to catch the dream of God and begin to walk out that dream so that we can together see the world come to know Jesus Christ. Would you give him a hand clap of praise in this place? Hallelujah. I will pour out my spirit. And so an addendum to this, in the 1960s, a generation of young people erupted across the nation, promoting free love and rock and roll, called them hippies. These youth, many were discounted by society as unreachable, and sadly, by most churches as well. Can't reach them. They won't respond. Except God had a different plan. See, when God puts his mind to something, he's able to bring it to pass. He's able to do it, isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, what happened? God began to reach out to these young people. And true revival hit the West Coast, and it began to spread all across America to the East Coast. And these kids began to give their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of thousands of them begin to come to God. See, God knows how to surprise us by reaching out to the unreachable. Now, what about this? What if God, in his amazing wisdom and understanding, chooses to reach out to the Muslim nations, amen, Muslim arenas, and those that we think now are unreachable, that God says, hey, the next great revival is going to come through the Muslim nation. I'm going to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody says it's impossible. No, it's not. Hallelujah. God can surprise us all, and hundreds of thousands of Muslims can begin to give their heart to the Lord Jesus. Come on, church, and say hallelujah. How can it happen? Any way God wants it to happen. One 16-year-old girl, amen, Robin was telling me, Muslim, she was raised in Iran. Amen. From the time she was 16 years old, she kept having a dream over and over and over again, and it was a dream of Jesus Christ. She didn't know who it was, but she saw him in that dream over and over and over again. Well, she finally had the opportunity to move to America, and when she moved to America, she became a part of a church. And in that church, they began to share with her the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And she began to share him. I had this dream over and over where I saw this man, Jesus. And he said, well, let me tell you who he is. And began to share with this 16-year-old girl the word of God and the message of salvation. And she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God will come to them in their sleep if they have to. God will meet them in a closet somewhere if he has to. God will come to them. He knows how to reach the nations for himself. But he has chosen us to be a part of it. He can do it by himself, but he's chosen us to be a part of it. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation. And he says, it shall come to pass. What if thousands of Jews begin to come to Jesus? What if thousands of Hindus? See, that's precisely what the dream of God is all about. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Oh, come on, I'm getting excited in this place. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass. And what's exciting to me is that in these last of the last days that God has allowed us, you and I, to be a part of a ministry that is literally reaching out to the world and helping to fulfill this dream of God, this thing that God desires more than anything else, of reaching the lost for him. Can you say amen? Oh, yes. Let's stand up and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass. Come on and give him praise. What are you willing to ask God for? What are you willing to ask God for?